May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another episode on this silsila, Spiritual Cures. Let's make some good intentions. Let's dive straight into it. Because for every good intention, there is a separate thawab. Why must we miss out on loads of thawab and rewards from the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal by being negligent in making good intentions? And that's how our routine, when you watch Madani Channel, when you attend the Sunnah-inspired Ijtima'at of Dawat Islami, you'll notice this, that Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyya, the founder of Dawud Islami, has encouraged this, that at the beginning of your bayan, your dars, etc., encourage the people, including yourself, to make good intentions. As the beautiful hadith has mentioned, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. You have heard of this hadith many, many times. That is there to remind us. Because we need the constant reminder. That's the truth. We get so caught up in the rat race of life with our family, with our work, with our studies, that it's easy to forget to make good intentions. In fact, before doing anything permissible by Sharia, any good deed, make sure you back it up with good intentions. Then inshallah ta'ala, that good deed will be fruitful for you. Because keep these usul, these principles in mind. That if a person does a good deed, but there's no good intention behind it, in the mind, in the heart, it's not necessary to say that, O Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm doing this for your pleasure and happiness, I'm doing this for this, for this, for this. As long as those intentions are in your mind, in your heart, that is niyyah, that is intention. So I can't see your intention, you can't see my intention, but you know what your intention is. Obviously, Allah Azza wa Jal knows what the intention is, what the thoughts are in the inner recesses of our hearts and our minds. So let's make some good intentions that, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm watching, I'm listening to the silsila of Madani Channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm here to seek knowledge of deen. What I learn, I will try to practice and convey this message to others as well. That is so important for you and I, because every Muslim out there is a muballigh, a muballigha, is a preacher of the deen. Not only the scholars of Islam, not only the ulama and mashaykh. You as a Muslim individually, it is your duty, it is your responsibility to convey this beautiful message of Islam. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Ballighu anni walau ayah," that convey on my behalf, even if it is one verse, even if it is one statement of Sharia, even if it is one teaching of Islam. Subhanallah. So by conveying this message, we are following this order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever other good intentions you can think of, make it now to gain maximum thawab from the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. But also keep in mind that if a person does good deeds but with evil intentions, with bad intentions, then far from attaining thawab and reward from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, that person will receive azab and punishment. For example, that a person is giving sadaqah in the path of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, charity, donation. But what is my intention? What is your intention? Is it solely to please Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or are the ulterior motives that I hope somebody is looking at me, watching me, that somebody praises me, calls me a generous person. So this is going to fit in that category of riyaqari, riya, which is showing off ostentation, which is one of the major sins. And it snatches away the thawab from the good deed. So how many of us, we are truly doing to make my Allah happy, to make my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy? Am I doing for their pleasure and happiness, or am I doing for the pleasure and happiness and praises of the public, of the people? These are some serious things to consider for you and I. We must strive to protect our ibadat, protect your good deeds. Don't show off to anybody else. As long as Allah Azza wa Jal knows about it, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, what more do you want? And inshallah ta'ala, by doing so, you will reap the rewards, especially on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there are so many beautiful bounties, benefits and blessings for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amounts of Durood-e Pak, salawat, salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful master, the last prophet of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have heard of many narrations, many ahadith, many aqwal and sayings of the Buzurgan Deen, Salaf al-Salihin, of the pious predecessors, encouraging us to recite large amounts of Durood-e Pak. For whose benefit? For my benefit, for your benefit. Not just in this world, but the grave and the hereafter as well. When we'll really need every inch of good deed, every atom of good deed, we'll need it on that day. So just for the recitation of one Durood Sharif, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive 10 sins of that person. Allah Azza wa Jal will grant that person 10 rewards. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise that person's daraja and status in his court by 10 times. That is the real status that we should be looking towards. Not the superficial and temporary status of this dunya. Especially some people have these different statuses on social medias. That's superficial. When your eyes close, all that ends. But the real status is, what kind of a status do I have in the court of my Khaliq, my Creator, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal? What face will I show on the Day of Judgment? That's where my focus and your focus has to be. As Muslims, as believers, as ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as slaves of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and slaves of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, good health is a great bounty from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Just ask that person who is bedridden. Ask that person who is there in the hospital for days or weeks. Ask that person who is going through chronic diseases, cancer, who has diabetes, high blood pressure, who is anemic, or there's a whole host of different kinds of sicknesses that was not there before. One of the main reasons for this is the food that we eat, is what we consume and what we fill our bellies with. A lot of it is processed food. Some people who are on the road all the time, they just, wherever there's a motel or wherever there's a takeaway, they just pop in there, grab some fatty foods which taste nice, but that taste lasts on the tongues only, the taste buds only. Once it's gone down, what benefit is this giving to me? How many calories am I gaining? How much is it increasing my the risk of my health? Is it going to give me cholesterol? Is it going to give me sugar diabetes? Is it going to give me kidney stones, gallstones? and so many other things. So these are things we should think about, not just for yourself, but for your children, for those who have grandchildren as well. Because our children, our grandchildren, they are the apples of your eye. They are your extensions. I mean, they are your blood. And you as the parent or grandparent, of course, you have to look into what is in their best interest. And this is just one aspect of it. Healthy foods, good foods, wholesome foods. Not just filling them with these fried chips and burgers and hot dogs and pizzas and what have you. Maybe every now and then, as a little treat perhaps, but on a daily basis, what am I filling the bellies of my offspring with? Is it good wholesome things that so they can grow up nice and strong and the immune systems can be strong as well? Subhanallah. That's your responsibility. That's your duty. Because which parent wants to see that they are in a, you know, fit and fine condition, but the children are suffering because of these different problems, not just medical problems, but in today's day and age where there is an increase in mental problems, psychological problems. You know, they call this ADD, ADHD, and a whole host of things. Mental issues, psychological issues, emotional issues. We have to, you are the shepherd of the flock. Especially fathers out there. You are the shepherd of the flock. And your flock are your offspring, especially. Your spouse as well, those who are under your care. Be careful for the wolves out there in this day and age of the food culture. You are being bombarded with this propaganda. But it looks so nice, so tantalizing, so tasty. And yes, many a times it tastes great as well. But that's it. There's no real nutritional value. There's no real benefit for your body and for your mind as well. You fill yourself, your body, your stomach with junk foods. What's going to happen to the mind? The mindset. The mind becomes junk. And then a whole host of sicknesses follow thereafter. So alhamdulillah azza wa jalla, our deen teaches us. Go and study the sunnah. Study the seerah, the blessed biography of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you'll realize that what kind of foods did he eat? Only whole foods, wholesome foods. Foods which are beneficial for our bodies and minds as well. And this is what he encouraged. Subhanallah. So, and how much of money you will save, especially for those who are used to eating junk foods, processed, highly processed foods, fatty foods, who are used to it. Do your calculation. Or somebody you know who is addicted to this, who can't stay away. What happens? The person ends up many a time suffering with obesity. And then there's difficulty in doing ibadat, in performing salah. There's a very beautiful book I would urge you to obtain. If you want the hard copy, you can obtain it from Maktabatul Madina, which is the publications department and bookshop of Dawud Islami. Or you can download the free ebook from dawudislami.net called Islamic Manners of Eating. A beautiful book which will encourage us to eat healthy, which will encourage us not to consume these soft drinks, fizzy drinks, cool drinks, and so many kinds of beverages are out there. Just the taste is good, that's it. Some of them don't even taste good, but they are very detrimental. Let me give you an example. You know, you get these colas that are black in color. The next time if you're buying this, or if somebody else brings it home, or wherever, have a look at the ingredients. And you'll notice that there is something an ingredient called phosphoric acid. Phosphoric acid is not good for you and I. If you take that cola drink and put it in a bottle of, maybe in an empty bottle, maybe halfway or something, and put a nail in there. Try this experiment for yourself. Put a nail inside and leave it for a week. And you'll be shocked at the results when you see that nail is rusted. Or a little piece of meat, put it inside there. And see what happens. That meat is going to disappear. It's going to be consumed by this acid. Now imagine, what would that be doing in my system, in my body? Because once it gets to the stomach, from there, the hydrochloric acid is released. The food is broken down. Metabolism does its thing. Digestion takes place and goes into the small intestine, where the nutrients are sucked out from that liquid. And thereafter, the waste is moved onto the large intestine, and then it is taken out of the body. So all of these chemicals, a whole lot of chemicals in these sweets, in these chocolates, in these chips, in these processed items, are doing damage to my body. I mean, experiments have been done. If you take a little bottle of a cola drink, look at the sugar content, and you'll be surprised that more than a quarter of that little bottle is just sugar. Now imagine taking that same quantity of sugar, putting it in a glass of water. Try to drink it. See what happens. You'll end up vomiting, you'll end up taking it out because you can't handle it. Now for them to try and cut that problem, they add other chemicals in. That sugar is getting to your system, those chemicals are getting in there, that phosphoric acid is getting inside, is going to be flowing in our bloodstream, and that bloodstream, that the blood is moving, this is the transport network of the body, the blood, transporting oxygen. Oxygenated blood, which is blood rich in oxygen, and removing deoxygenated blood, which is blood which is, has less oxygen, carbon dioxide, to take it out from the lungs, and then you exhale it, you take it out. But all the other things are flowing in the bloodstream, and that's the transport network, taking oxygen and nutrients from the food that we are eating to the cells of the body, right through the body, right to the brain, the heart. Those chemicals are flowing with it, those harmful chemicals. So think about it. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the problems, especially with drinking too much of soda drinks, cool drinks, fizzy drinks, carbonated drinks, where they force the carbon into the drink, and you have this, the gas in it, is a problem that we are seeing. It has increased and it is now prevalent. Kidney stones, gallstones. And one of the reasons is because of consuming too much of these soda drinks, cool drinks. Allahu Akbar. There was a friend of mine, and his family worked for one of these cool drink companies, cola cool drink companies. And so they would get a whole case every month for free, 2 liters. And he told me, I got addicted to this thing where I had to finish 2 liters every single day, because we were getting a whole case and anything extra, I would buy it, because the body was the urge was there to drink it. Yes, they're addictive. They load it with caffeine and the other chemicals, because they don't know which chemical is going to make you addicted. So they pump it up with a lot of chemicals. Maybe one of them is going to make you and I addicted to the taste of it, to the tartness of it. And he said within under 3 months, he had kidney stones. And immediately he stopped it. For that person who has stones in the gallbladder or the bladder, so we're not talking just about stones in the kidney, but the bladder and the gallbladder as well, one must make sure that they drink sufficient amounts of water every single day. I mean, generally, we all should be drinking sufficient water. Sometimes a person may go through the whole day because they are addicted to these cool drinks and soft drinks and soda pops or juices, different kinds of juices. They prefer to have that with their meals. So in the morning, breakfast time, the tea is there, the coffee is there, the toast is there. There's no water. Lunchtime, the meal is there, but there's no water, there's cool drink. Supper time, cool drink as well, or juice. Where's the water? Where's the time to drink water, which our body needs? We are made from water as well. We constitute largely water. More than 70% or around that figure is what we are made of as human beings. Water. Your cells need sufficient amounts of water. So three meals are going by, sometimes more meals. But water doesn't feature anywhere in those meals. And then what happens sometimes? A person will get dehydrated, but they would feel that they are hungry, when in reality they are dehydrated because they have less water content in their body. What would happen then? They would end up eating instead of drinking water because they feel hungry, when in reality they are dehydrated, so they end up eating extra, more calories, which leads to obesity and other diseases, other sicknesses. Because as some Hakims have mentioned, two major areas that if they are not right, the whole body is affected. One is the stomach. So it comes back to what am I eating? And the other is your blood flow. Is my blood flow regular? Is it how it's supposed to be? Or is there some obstacles because of the cholesterol, because of the chemicals and many other issues, because of swelling, etc., that can cause issues in the blood flow, and then this causes problems throughout the body because the blood flow is interrupted. Insufficient blood. Remember, the blood has oxygen and nutrients. Insufficient oxygen and nutrients are reaching the cells of the body, and the body aches are going to start. Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for one's kidneys to function properly, sufficient amounts of water needs to be consumed, because the kidneys are actually a filtration system. Imagine all of these parts of our bodies, these organs, these limbs are enormous bounties from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, which we have to protect, we have to look after, because they don't belong to us. So who does it belong to? It belongs to the Creator, Al-Khaliq, Almighty Allahu Jalla Jalaluhu. You belong to Him. I belong to Him. Whatever we have, whatever we own, whatever we see, whatever we don't see, it all belongs to Him. And our return is to Him. A person passes away. What do we need? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we belong to Allah. And indeed, our return is to Allah. One day we're going to return to Him, we're going to be answerable, accountable. How did I spend my life? This ni'mah, this amana, this trust, this body that I have, did I look after it? Think about it. If maybe a friend or a family brings a very expensive possession of theirs and says, you know what, I want you to look after this for a period of time, and I take it,
if I abuse it, if I use it for my own personal usage, or I damage it, can I do whatever I want with that device or with that possession? Of course not. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to somebody else. This is an amana, it's a trust. I have been entrusted with this to look after it, to safeguard it. So imagine, we have to safeguard our bodies. We have to protect it. Because amana, this trust that we have been given temporarily by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, we are going to be asked about it. Again, the choice is mine, the choice is yours. What we do in this short life, I can do as I please and fulfill my desires to my heart's content. One day is one day. I need to think, I need to be smart, I need to be wise. When I'm standing there on Maidani Hashr, on the field of gathering, what answers do I have? What excuses do I have? Islam has the do's, has the don'ts. My choice and your choice. You do the do's for Allah Azza wa Jal, you will reap the rewards, the harvest through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is Jannah, is paradise. Or through the shafa'ah and intercession of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is paradise. And if I do the don'ts, all that which is haram, people joke about it today, haram, haram, haram. Wait when your eyes close. Then your eyes will open. Allah give them guidance. But for those who joke about it, or play around with this, think it's, you know, it's fun. How long your fun is going to last? 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, and then what? And then accountability. And then judgment. In each individual, I'm not there to judge you. Neither are you there to judge me. Allah is the supreme judge. When you're standing in His court, and judgment is about to be passed upon you. Well, think about it. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? What answers do I have? Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the kidneys, this is a filtration system designed by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, a beautiful, perfect system. And it filters out things like urea and other harmful chemicals from the body, which are stored in the bladder and then released, expelled from the body. Now I mentioned about stones in the gallbladder. The gallbladder is actually a sort of pear-shaped sac-like organ in the upper right part of the abdomen, positioned just under the liver. It stores bile. This is a bitterish liquid which helps in the digestion of fats. So most gallstones, they would form when there's too much of cholesterol in the bile. So again, we're coming back to fatty foods, foods which are highly processed. How many times are they using the same oil to fry those chips, to fry those burgers, those sausages, those hot dogs or Viennas, to fry those items? I mean, over and over and over and over again. And then creating free radicals and making it sort of poisonous. You're not there to stand 24/7 over that period of time. They are open to see that, okay, how often are you changing this oil? Some of them that to save money. That's why their business is open, to make money, to make a profit. To save money and to increase their profits, they would use it until that oil turns blackish in color. Allahu Akbar. So again, the cholesterol foods, the fatty foods, the highly processed foods, all of that in the end of the day, especially if a person is eating this regularly, is going to create such things as stones, kidney stones, gallstones, stones in the bladder, etc. What can be done? A person who has stones in the gallbladder or in the bladder should write the following 46 times, right? 46 times on a clean, pure piece of paper, plain paper, no lines, just the plain, how you have this computer, this printing paper. So take one and write 46 times on that. Very simple, very easy. For the person who has stones in the gallbladder or bladder, write 46 times, La ilaha illallahu. La ilaha illallahu. La ilaha illallahu. 46 times. Write that down on this clean, pure piece of paper. And then place it in a bowl or a cup. Then pass water over this. Over this, what you have written down. La ilaha illallah, 46 times. Pour water and let it flow over this. And then recite Bismillah. Drink it. By the will of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, those stones that are creating difficulty and suffering in your life, that's present in your gallbladder or bladder, will pass out by becoming small particles, inshallah azza wa jal. Try to practice upon this. If you don't have this problem, I forgot to mention, you know, whenever you are watching the different silsilas and programs of Madani channel, have a notebook ready, have a diary. Jot down those important Madani pearls of advices or wazifas, invocations and incantations. Because ink is the best memory. And as Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, capture knowledge by writing it down. Because certainly we don't have memories like the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, Sahaba ikram, the pious people, because of sins and continuous sinning. Our memories have become weak. So write it down. If you, maybe one day you may need this. Maybe you know somebody. And one day in the future, you can share this information with them. It may just help them, inshallah ta'ala. So write down 46 times, La ilaha illallah, on a clean, pure piece of plain paper. Put it into a bowl or a cup. Pour water over all of this. Bismillah, durud-e pak. And drink this. Allahu Akbar. There's a little home remedy for those who have kidney stones or stones in the gallbladders. It's to do with the raw papaya. This you can find in the supermarket. Take some white salt or black salt and sprinkle onto raw papaya. And also sprinkle a little ground black pepper on it. Now from this, approximately 10 grams of this you're going to take and you're going to chew it. Eat it. Chew it nicely and then swallow it. Do this 3 times every day. For that person who has kidney stones or who is suffering from stones in their gallbladder, raw papaya, take some white or black salt, a little bit of ground black pepper onto it, and take about 10 grams, chew it nicely and then swallow it. Do this 3 times a day. But remember to try and chew it well. Chew it nicely so those juices must mix up nicely. And if any difficulty arises in chewing, then you can use the ground black pepper as well, or the more finer one. Inshallah ta'ala, by the will of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, those stones will pass out from the kidneys, from the gallbladder as well. However, note this. Don't eat large quantities of this, because it's heavy in its asar and its effect, and it digests slowly. So although it helps with other things to digest quickly, itself it digests slowly. So don't eat large quantities of this. For a person who has problems in their bladder and they are passing out blood in their urine, because remember that urine is stored in the bladder. It filters through the kidneys, it flows down and gets stored into the bladder, which is a bag-like organ. And from there it exits from the body. So a person may notice that, you know what, I can see some reddish color in the urine. So in all probability, it could be blood. But I don't have to tell you, you need to visit the doctor. Visit your pediatrician or your GP and get the necessary blood tests done, and they will confirm what is the root problem actually. But for that individual who is noticing this and has been informed by the doctor that the person has stones or a stone in their bladder or the kidney, then they can practice upon this as well. Try to avoid, especially if you witness that blood in the urine, try to avoid foods which are hot in the effect or effectiveness, which are like, you know, has too much of chili powder, masala, these kind of things. So try to avoid that. Excessive use of red chili powder also can produce burning sensations when a person is passing out urine. The patient should avoid, once again, foods or items that are heat effective, and should also avoid red chili powder. Recite the mentioned verse below. This is the ayah of the Quran, especially for those who have kidney stones or stones in the bladder. Recite the following blessed verse of the Holy Quran 3 times. With Durood-e Pak 3 times before and after. And after every 2 hours, blow onto some water and drink this. And continue this practice until recovery. Okay, now this verse of the Holy Quran is a very famous verse as well. It is in Surah Al-Hashr, verse 24. You can also find this wazifa and this ayah in the beautiful booklet called Ailing Worshipper on pages 36 through to 38. You can download this booklet as well from dawoodislami.net along with over 250 other titles in English on diverse topics. And many of them are translated into over 30 different languages. For the benefit of the Ummah, for my benefit, for your benefit as well. So visit the website. There's so many things available there. There's online courses available. There's Ruhani Ilaj. If you don't find any Ruhani Ilaj, Spiritual Cures Department of Dawood Islam near you, then online. Fill out the online form. Mention what your problem is. And inshallah ta'ala, the representatives of that department will try to get the Ilaj treatments to you, inshallah. So like that, there's beautiful articles for Islamic brothers, for Islamic sisters, for our Madani children as well. There's a beautiful blog there. There's beautiful images, Islamic images, a lovely gallery. There's many things on the website, dawoodislami.net. So that ayah is بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم سورة الحشر verse 24. Recite this 3 times, this ayah of the Quran, with Durood-e Pak 3 times before, 3 times after, and then after every 2 hours, blow onto some water and drink that. Inshallah ta'ala, you will get some relief from the kidney stones or stones in the bladder. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On Madani channel, there is a silsila called Clinic, and they give beautiful advices for people who are suffering from different types of problems. And one of the advices that they give is how a person would go for the routine tests to check their vitals, their lipid test, the cholesterol test, sugar test. Another test should be included amongst our routine tests, and that is the urinalysis test. And that will try to determine whether we have any kidney diseases, liver diseases, or even diabetes as well. But as always, consult your doctor beforehand. Any medications that you are about to take, any remedies you are going to take, consult your doctor. That's the field they specialize in, the medical fraternity. Allahu Akbar. There's other beautiful spiritual treatments. Try to visit a Ruhani Ilaj Basta, meaning a spiritual cures stall of Dawud-e-Islami at a Madani Markaz Islamic Center of Dawud-e-Islami near you. These are set up across the globe in different parts of the world. But as you know, Dawud-e-Islami is established and the message of Dawud-e-Islami has reached over 196 countries of the world, with thousands and thousands, or perhaps tens of thousands of masjids, of Islamic centers, of madrasas, of jami'at, and facilities, platforms to educate the ummah. But this is one of the main focuses of Dawud-e-Islami, to empower the ummah with authentic Islamic knowledge. To empower the ummah. Even our Islamic sisters have their own separate department where they have their weekly sunnah inspired ijtima, where they have their weekly or daily balighat classes, specialized classes to teach how to read the Quran from alif ba ta, and the rules of the tajweed rules, makharij, correct pronunciations, to perfect their salah, wudu, ghusl, fard ulum, obligatory branches of knowledge. All of this is taught to them for free. Subhanallah. They have their own gatherings, they have their own dars, their own functions. Subhanallah. Of course, Islamic Brothers have separately on different days as well, their programs, their weekly sunnah inspired ijtima, their balighan classes, specialized classes for grown up males, and their daily dars. Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Ali has also introduced Nek A'mal, which you can download for free. The app, you can download it for free from App Store or Play Store. Any Muslim out there who says, you know, I want to change my life. I need to change a new leaf now. Enough is enough. I need to turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal. I need to turn back to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I need to live my life and lead my life in accordance with Islamic teachings. And to help them do this, accomplish this, Nek A'mal, meaning pious deeds, has been created. This is a program. It's a very, very effective program, especially in today's day and age. Nek A'mal is a self-questionnaire where every day you have to fill it out now. There are several questions, 50 plus questions every day. There are weekly questions, monthly questions, yearly questions, even questions that at least once in your lifetime that we should try and do. And some of those daily questions you're going to ask yourself is about salah, about did I make good intentions today, did I respect my parents today, did I lie today, did I backbite today, did I learn a little bit of ilm al-deen, knowledge of deen today, did I recite some of the parts of the Quran today. Subhanallah, very beautiful. So you are taking a stock, an accountability of your own life on a daily basis. And you put the tick or you leave it blank. And you're monitoring your own progress. So on yourself, on your own. And with that, that's your daily injection. And with your daily injection is your daily dars as well. And even home dars. Your weekly injection is your weekly sunnah inspired ijtima. Your monthly injection is your Madani Qafila. So travel with the Madani Qafilas of Dawud Islami for these 3 days every month to different cities, different towns, even different countries as well, in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. Lots to learn. And again, Islamic sisters have their own department, their own programs that they handle on their own. And we can't forget our children. Children as well. Those who are in madrasa, those who are in jami'ah, in the Darul Uloom. There's a specially designed Nek A'mal just for them. In simple English. Subhanallah. Imagine if we grow them up from small. That, you know, they have this mindset of taking accountability for their lives. And every day checking on themselves. Knowing that Allah SWT is watching me. Knowing that the angels are there, ready with their pens, ready to write what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say, good or bad. As our pious people have mentioned that today is the day of action, not accountability. And tomorrow, that is on the day of judgment, that is the day of accountability, not action. So what actions I do here, in deed or in word, verbally or physically, I'm going to be held accountable on the day of judgment. What did you do? What did you say? What lies did you speak? Whom did you backbite about? So these things, before the accountability takes place on the day of judgment, the day of justice, the day of accountability in the akhirah, in the hereafter, the afterlife, how about I try to do some kind of accountability of my life on a daily basis? And nek a'mal, designed also by Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, is a gift for you and I, to help us, guide us, to try and reform ourselves. And that is linked to the Madani mission statement, the motto of Dawat Islami, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. But that's where I begin, here, right here, with the person that you see in the mirror. That's where I start. And I have to strive. It's not a once-off thing. It doesn't happen overnight. I have to strive, I have to work hard to reform myself. And by using these tools that Dawat Islami has prepared for us, and has made it so easy. So the first part of the motto, the Madani mission statement, is referring to the nek a'mal, to help you reform yourself. And the latter part, to reform the people of the entire world. It's a big statement. But for those who are regular in traveling on Madani qafilas of Dawat Islami, they'll tell you the experiences that they have when they travel out in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the different masjids in the different towns, cities, and abroad as well. And they go to preach the deen. They go to bring back the wayward, lost Muslims. How many of them are there? Especially our youth. How many are involved in drugs, are wasting their lives away in pubs, in clubs, drowning themselves in alcohol, contemplating suicide, who have mental issues, who have acute depression, who are thinking about ending their lives, who have premarital relationships, and who are afflicted with so many different types of medical and spiritual problems. Who's going to help them? Will you not help your own child? So in Dawat Islami, these are like our children. These are our brothers. And Islamic sisters, they handle the Islamic sisters and mothers and daughters. So there's a separation, complete separation. But who's going to help them if not you and I? That's our fellow Muslim brothers, and again for Islamic sisters, fellow Muslim sisters, whom they handle on their own. It's our duty, our responsibility. You see your fellow Muslim running towards the fire, what are you going to do? Or if you see any person running towards the fire, would you just stand back and it's not my responsibility, not my duty, I don't have a moral duty to say anything, to do anything, even to yell out? If you see a wrong, this is one of the teachings of Islam, that if you see a wrong, then you get in there and physically with your hands, you stop it. You do your best to stop it. If you know that, you know what, I'm not going to be harmed and the people are going to listen to me. Otherwise, you speak out against that oppression, that evil. Don't feel that, you know, the fires are outside my house. By fires, I mean the drugs and the alcohol and the music and the clubs and all of these dirty, filthy avenues of sin. Filthy things behind which Those things are leading towards the fire of Jahannam. So don't think that, you know, I'm safe and sound, my family is safe and sound, and you know, the fire is burning outside there. One day you don't know. That fire will spread so rapidly and will enter into your home. What are you going to do then? When your child comes home or your grandchild comes home and says, you know, start stealing from the house. Why? To try and meet and fulfill their drug addiction. Or your child or your offspring becomes an alcoholic or gets addicted to gambling. All these vices in society, it is propagated by shaitan. That's it. And shaitan, you know, is very cunning. Iblis, the cursed and humiliated one, is very cunning. And he has his book of tricks. He tries to make people believe, some of them, that he doesn't exist. Shaitan, where's shaitan? No, there's no... He tries to make it such that like, he doesn't exist. And for some people, he works on them when they start worshipping him. Allahu Akbar. So where are they going to end up? And some people out there who don't have proper knowledge, and we come across Muslims, some Muslim children as well, youngsters, who say that shaitan is a fallen angel. So where did you learn this from? From the movies, from the dramas, from social media, all these clips out there which are propagating this. It's a propaganda, it's advertising for shaitan. It is marketing for shaitan. He's behind it and he has his agents in the front. Human agents, jinn agents, who are propagating his message. Of, no, don't listen to your parents. Don't listen to authority. It's your life. It's my life. I want to do what I want to do. Don't invade my privacy. You know, this. Let me live my life. Let me make my own mistakes. So he puts all these weird, funny, strange ideas into people's minds with these wasawis, his evil whispers. And if you listen to that, because he can whisper in your own voice, your own sound, he whispers. You think it's your ideas, your thoughts. If you listen to that, you're being shaitan. Whoever obeys shaitan, you know where he's going to take you. You know which route he's going to take you down. Jahannam, he's going to burn forever there. That's where you want to go. It's your choice. We have that choice. But we don't have the ability to choose the consequences. If you plan good deeds, inshallah ta'ala, through the mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, the harvest is Jannah. If you plant evil deeds, Allahu Akbar. The harvest is Jahannam, hellfire. So it's my choice. It's your choice as well. But we don't choose the consequences. How about I make the smart decision? I make a wise decision. And only atti Allah wa atti Rasul. Obey Allah Azza wa Jal and obey Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the intelligent person. And the successful person, who is that? So the intelligent, the truly intelligent and wise person who says, you know, that's it. I'm a slave of Allah and His Rasul and I will obey. The slave obeys the master. The slave obeys the creator. I am here to just obey my Allah Azza wa Jal, my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, prepare for the grave, which is the first stage of the hereafter. That is the truly wise and intelligent person. And the truly successful person is the one who left this world with Iman, with his belief intact, his faith still with him or her, intact. Because look, if you have all the worldly pleasures and status and wealth and you name it, materialistic items that you can even dream of, but if that person left without believing Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, without Iman, it's all absolutely useless. It's not going to accompany them into the grave. What's going to happen in the grave then? What's going to happen on the Day of Judgment? But if a person is the poorest of the poor, has no materialistic items, is a miskin, doesn't even know where the next meal is coming from, But they still obey Allah Azza wa Jal. They have patience, they read their salah, they make dua, follow the sunnah, and they leave this world with iman. Allahu Akbar. They are going to be smiling on the day of judgment. They are going to be in, you know, a high status. That's the true status. So you've come to realize what is true intelligence and what is true wisdom. To be who we are, slaves of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and be obedient to them. And what is true success? To leave with this world with iman. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And what is the true status? Which the person will see in the hereafter. When the person sees these people are sitting on high thrones with crowns on their head, with refulgence and with nur and illumination. And the others, especially those who left without iman, and those Muslims who passed away without sincerely repenting in the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, what's going to happen to them? What if them is you and I? If we are included in those unfortunate people, Allah protect us. Allah Azza wa Jal, and every day make this dua for yourself, for your offspring, for your family, and for all the Muslims. Ya Allah, give us a good shaheed maut with iman. In the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, through the wasila of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, grant us burial in Jannatul Baqi. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus without accountability in the closeness to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these are some of the du'as. Every day we must make this. Encourage your children as well to make this, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. We'll share a few more wadaif, inshallah, with regards to a person who has kidney stones, pains in the kidney areas as well, before we conclude. That person who has pains in the kidney area should recite Surah Alam Nashrah Laka Sadarak 7 times. Surah Alam Nashrah 7 times. With each time, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And through the park once before and after. And then blow towards the affected area. You may want somebody else to read it and to do dhamm on that area. But somebody who is able to recite the Quran properly. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jalla, as I mentioned earlier, try to visit a stall of spiritual cures, the Ruhani Ilaj Department of Dawud Islami. There's a special ta'weed for a person who has kidney stones or any problems with the kidneys that needs to be placed there at that area. You visit the stall, inshallah, you will be given free treatments, free ta'awidat, free amulets, free advices as well, inshallah ta'ala, and some spiritualized water to drink as well, inshallah ta'ala. Always keep attached to this beautiful Madani movement, this fragrant movement of Dawud Islami. Try to attend the weekly ijtima, try to attend the daily dars. Practice upon the nek a'mal. Don't forget, every Saturday evenings, 6 p.m. South African time, is Madani Muzakura live with His Eminence, the great Kamil Wali of the time, Amir Ahl Sunnah Hazrat Alama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya, the founder of Dawud Islami, where he answers questions from around the world on diverse topics. Inshallah ta'ala, we will see you next time only on Madani channel. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from